Conferences. Long agendas, big venues, always on your feet, barely getting to see the people that you want to see, and then, of course, the expense. Well, the three of us at Good Morning Hospitality are launching Good Morning Retreats. Our first retreat is this July 8th through the 10th at the Horst Hospitality Training School in Auburn, Alabama. If you go to goodmorningretreats.com, you'll find out more information about our first retreat that we're launching. We have already filled half the slots. We have 20 available and we have about 13 already filled. So make sure you go there, you apply, show your interest, and we'll get you all situated for our first ever Good Morning Retreat. Thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. And now back to the episode.
Welcome to Good Morning Hospitality, your one-stop shop for the latest news, noteworthy trends, and thought-provoking discussions across the industry. From hotels and short-term rentals to all things travel and hospitality, you'll find each episode equips you with the information that you need to start your week. Join us on Good Morning Hospitality every Monday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning.
Happy Monday.
Happy holidays.
Hello,
welcome back, Jamie Lane. So good to see your festive hat, and look at all of us in our cute sweaters and hats going on. I love it. So festive,
wholesome. So festive.
So excited to be with you guys, especially on this last podcast of the year.
Yeah, last one for all of our listeners. We will not be doing a Christmas episode since Christmas is on a Monday, unfortunately, for all our morning club listeners who love to wake up early, you know, bring that early morning energy. We won't be here, but hey, we'll be ready.
Trying to breathe that slogan into existence.
I am trying. You gotta love it. Well, hey guys, I'm excited. This is fun. For all the listeners, we are a little festive. We are wearing either sweaters or Christmas hats. So let us know what you're doing for the holidays. We'd love to hear all the fun plans. But we have a fun kind of like early part of the episode for me. I had a lot of fun pulling some of this data. As you know, Jamie was going to be on the show, I had to scream for the data and pull it from our back end hosting software, trying to get all these slogans in today. You know, just one episode.
We really are knocking them all out.
Yeah,
so we get an epic Brandy rant here.
Yeah. So good. Well, hey, I want to cover some quick updates or stats for you guys before we jump into today's topic, which is going to be, you know, the three of us, Michael, Brandy, myself, got to cover our predictions, what ended up being right, what ended up not being right. So today we're going to hear from Jamie Lane, hear what his predictions were, how accurate he may have landed. And then also let's look at the future and what we can expect in 2024. At least as much as possible, right? Like the data is the data. So we're going to listen to the one and only data nerd to tell us what's up. But,
and we're going to hold him to all of those predictions.
100%. Hold him to accountability.
Do you do price predictions for Airbnb too? Is it a buy, sell, or hold right now?
We don't, but I'll tell you what they're going to earn next year. Yeah.
There we go. That's a big flex.
So is it a buy, sell, or hold?
Tell us a public. Yeah.
The thing with stock markets is I can tell you exactly what they're going to earn, but I still want to know whether you should buy, sell, or hold it. Like,
fair.
Quick disclaimer for all our listeners. This is not investing advice. We do not suggest you take any of this seriously in the sense of investment. So just FYI there. But hey, we had a fun year. We don't talk about the podcast stats live on the show as much as we do usually, like on LinkedIn or maybe in our group chat. And last week we saw that the podcast was ranking number 61 in business news on Apple Podcast charts. So that was exciting, hitting the top charts. For me, I love seeing that. Jamie, you sent a great screenshot graphic of who our competition is to beat, you know, in the upcoming weeks or so. You know, we'll slowly creep into that top 50, top 10. But that was an exciting a stat for us. We crossed over 1.8 million downloads for all time. So this year we hit 1 million back in September. And then we also had another, you know, couple hundred thousand boost up, especially with the addition of our hotel crew. So shout out to Steve Turk and Sarah Dandashi for coming in, making the hotel listeners super lively, and also making our YouTube shorts go viral almost every other week or so. It's pretty crazy to see how fast their clips, you know, have a huge increase in viewership. So big exciting stuff there. Speaking of YouTube, I want to give a couple of our new subscribers a quick shout out. We have Zach Barrington and William Henry, who are the most recent subscribers on our YouTube channel. So thank you for tuning in and watching on there. And then also a shout out to Jackie, who commented on our Spotify, and she said that this is her favorite Get to the Point podcast. So that's pretty sweet. I know I'm not getting really to the point today. We're kind of, you know, basking in the moment
of irony.
Kind of feels like a Thanksgiving episode. So very thankful for our listeners.
100%. Just covering some of these stats. But do you guys know what our top episodes were this year? Audio only. We'll go audio first. There's two that stand out on the video side. But I'll let you guys go ahead and guess. Go ahead, Michael.
I'll take a guess. Shout out Tim Rizzolio, Verbo.
Yeah.
Yes, no, maybe so.
That was going to be Tim, my guess.
So Tim's episode.
YouTube.
Well, Tim's episode is ranked twice. So number one was our Airbnb winter release episode.
That's
been the most down so far this year. We had Tim Rizzolio for the second position on the new cancellation policy with Verbo. And then his first episode on what the Verbo moat was. And then our hotel crew had their episode with IHG, Hyatt, and United and all the updates happening with those companies. And then our fifth episode, which I was surprised on, was with Bob W. when Michael and I got to interview Nico during VRMA. So pretty interesting line of episodes. Not what I expect. I was hoping Sam Shank would be on that list, but I didn't see him in the top five. So what up, listeners? Go back and listen to the Sam Shank episode. Put in the top five.
So some real competition between Airbnb and Verbo on not only in the marketplace, but among top episodes.
Yeah. So Verbo, Airbnb, if you guys want to sponsor the show, you know, we're open. We're open to talking. Maybe there won't be any more brandy rants, but hey,
no promises.
We'll get to that. Talk later. But can you guess what the top video episodes were? We have two that really outstood from the rest.
Go ahead, Michael. Brandy first. Michael went first. Steve Aperto had the highest YouTube video.
He did this year. Guess who the second was?
Tell us.
Our live one. All three of us together.
No, I wish it was our live one. It was our second go around with Demi from AirDNA when we covered the Arrivalist acquisition. So that one's actually ranking pretty well on our video side. So it's getting the most reoccurring views, which was exciting to see. I love that episode. Demi's a badass, and I really enjoyed that time with her. So that was pretty sweet. And now to kind of wrap it up, we have a big thank you to our partners. We had an huge opportunity to work with a lot of partners this year, three of which sent us to Barcelona, which was exciting. And then, of course, we have our reoccurring sponsors with TravelNet and Sojo. So thank you to AirDNA also for sponsoring us earlier this year and being the first go around to kick off everything. And then we had Breezeway, Safely, and, of course, AutoHost and Aperto. So just super thankful for the opportunity to have partners on the show. Steve Turk commenting on the hotel crew, what up? And yeah, it was just a great year. So we have one open slot for next year if anyone's interested in partnering with the show. But outside of that, let's kick into the episode. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. I think...
All right. So Jamie.
A lot of us missed Darm this year. Yeah. And Jamie, you were, from what we heard, the highlight or the low light. Just depends on who you talk to. I don't know. you know, we've talked about our predictions. Very curious how yours stacked up. I think there were some spot ons and some pretty big gaps and misses. What was the closest prediction you nailed, and what was the one that you just did not see coming?
Yeah. So, and I think a lot of the feedback from Darm was there was a lot of a real talk. And maybe not as much rah-rah, the industry is all doing great, but like
straight really... buyer real talk?
No, 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 never. but some talk about sort of challenges in the industry, what's happening, and ways to sort of mitigate some of those impacts. So in terms, and I started off my presentation with this of like, here's what we presented at Darm last year. And because we got up on stage and sort of talked about the outlook and then what came true. And there's one we essentially nailed was demand. So how many people were going to be renting out short-term rentals in 2023? We said it was going to grow about 6%. It grew about 6.5%. So it actually did a little bit better than we were expecting. But where we just totally missed it and it led to all the other metrics being a bit off was just on supply growth. We had been expecting about 9% increase in supply, which would have led to about 1.5% decline in occupancy. But we ended up seeing about 13% increase in supply, which actually led to about a 5% decline in occupancy, which pushed RevPAR's negative. Are down about 5.5% for 5% for the year, which made it a pretty rough year for the average operator, average host in terms of earning less revenue this year than they did in the year prior. So that significant decline in occupancy essentially erased all the gains that we had seen during the pandemic. Pre-COVID, we were running as an industry about 55%. That increased well over 61% at its peak in 2021, which is a massive increase in occupancy. And now we're back down as of November to 55%. So the industry is still relatively healthy in terms of back to pre-pandemic averages, but we've erased a lot of those gains. ADRs are still growing or were higher on a real basis, like same unit comparison. We saw no change in ADRs. So some markets they were up, some markets they were down, but on average, ADRs stayed flat. And as Brandy can tell you, expenses did not stay flat this year, and that eroded into profitability for hosts, operators, for investors over this past year.
We saw 3 or 4 years of chaos and unpredictability, only to return back to 2019, which is not a bad year to return to. That was record highs in fairly reasonable, normal times. But for all the companies that raised in the past couple of years based on metrics or numbers that came in 2020, 2021, it's going to be tough to justify moving forward. So if now's the time to get costs under control because we're not getting back to 2021 levels.
100%. Yeah. And it's kind of crazy. Oh, go ahead, Jamie.
I assume you're teeing me up for the outlook, but go ahead, Will.
No, I just think my Wi-Fi is lagging, so apologies to our listeners. We'll chop out some of this overlapping conversation. But no, I was just going to say, having a lot of conversations with operators, it's kind of crazy just because of the COVID hangover, right? And so, Jamie, as I've been talking to operators and vendors, we got to pull some data, which was cool. But a lot of operators are kind of feeling the hurt. You know, this year was not easy. 2023 definitely was a year, I think, where profitability really, I think throughout the show, throughout other conversations on and offline, we've all realized like profitability is kind of the biggest key. And we got to, you know, shameless plug or shout out to our partners at Sojo, pull some data from operators. You know, there's things you can do in the pricing range that really can help obviously grow the revenue. But when it comes to your operation stack and making sure that you are, you know, saving hours and time for turnover is really important. And so we did a case study based on before people use Sojo and after, and there was actually a decrease in average inspection time by 10%. There was an increase of number of cleans performed by 10%. Hours over the month of labor saved was over 50 hours. So there's a lot of areas that I think for, you know, 2024 to be focused on when it comes to the operational behind the scenes, you know, operation and tech stack overall, right? Like Sojos aren't just like products, they have tech. And so I think as we're all having these conversations of who's next on the chopping block in the regards to tech stack, I think we should put who's next on the additional list to like save that efficiency. So that's just kind of one of big takeaway I had. So shout out to Sojo for giving me that data to use in this episode. And of course, like every conversation we have on and offline, I just think the operation becomes more and more important. So awesome stuff. Anyways, Jamie, back to you for 2024 outlook.
Yeah. So 2024, and Brandy and Michael, you guys, I know will hold me true to this and what we're predicting, but I'm predicting is the year of equilibrium. So we've seen so much disconnect between supply and demand over the next 4 years. 2024 is the year that they finally come in line. So we're going to see slightly faster demand growth in 2024 than we saw in 2023. And there's a lot of factors that go into it, but a big piece of it, or a decent piece of it, is international travel finally getting back, a more normalized view of leisure travel, and supply sort of coming in the right markets. And that means occupancy is essentially unchanged. We're going to see first half of the year occupancy still declining. Back half of the year, we actually expect occupancy to turn back to positive. And then because of that, I mean, ADRs are actually go from negative or and flat to slightly negative back to positive. We end the year up about 2% for RevPAR. But that really differs by location type, by market. We've now started forecasting different markets, different location types. For the average coastal mountain market, they're still flat to slightly down. For the urban, suburban, mid-sized city, they're slightly up 2-3%. And a big piece of that, as I said, is the type of demand that's coming back tends to be more towards that urban demand. And in the more leisure type destinations, that they continue to see some weakness with travelers going overseas. And some of the shift back towards urban travel for domestic travelers. So U.S. travelers staying domestically in their travel.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I'll be curious, one other thing to look at like booking window, because we have still seen, I mean, this is obviously, again, speaking for an urban market, but still seeing that booking window in the like 3-4 week period. Yep. And still getting a big chunk of revenue in the month for the month. So I'm curious, like, as you know, this equilibrium happens, if people will feel more comfortable kind of booking earlier. And then this has also been floated around that people are starting to, some people, not all travelers, are getting like savvy to how like pricing is. Mm-hmm. And trying to game our system a little bit. So I'll be curious. I would love, I mean, stability sounds nice to me. And you know, seeing that growth in supply, but I'd also be interested to see in some markets where a lot of people bought, you know, large second or third homes, expecting to make those 21, 22 returns. If that supply will be taken off the market and back to long-term, or just like, you know, out of the vacation rental supply. So that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Jamie, where are the COVID darlings, the Blue Ridges, the Broken Arrows, the Poconos,
Broken Bow,
Oklahoma. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whichever one that is. It was a COVID darling that I had never heard of pre-COVID.
Yeah.
Are they still holding strong?
They are seeing some weakness in the housing market. So Broken Bow in particular, we're seeing very elevated levels of new homes or homes coming to market. So people may be thinking of exiting given where they came in and the revenues maybe not meeting the expectations that they had. Maybe not as much so in the Gatlinburg Pigeon Forge, very much a strong second home market, maybe less investor interest, but still a lot of interest of people that maybe just want a second home in the mountains. And that's when you think about the home inventory that short-term rental investors are competing with, a lot of it isn't with other investors or people that want to go into and renting it out as short-term rentals. They want to have it for their own use, and they maybe have an entirely different and way they value that home as opposed to the cash flows and what it could earn. So, and then Brandy, to your point, and we're going to have this data going out in our Outlook report that goes out this week. So we're going to sort of summarize all the trends in large city urban areas. The average lead time was 25 days, which I think aligns with what you just said. That was down from 27 days last year. But if you rewind that all the way back to pre-pandemic, 2019, it was 38 days. So people are booking just much shorter. And on average, lead time shortened by a full week in 2023 compared to 2022. So that's something that I think everyone is out there sort of seeing, that people are booking and not as far out in advance. And that has to impact your revenue management strategy on how you adjust rates as you get closer to the stay date.
Yeah, I think Doug Trua, our head of commercial, who I think was also with you at DARM.
We had lunch.
touching on a lot of the things that you're talking about and how the kind of the strategy, you have to be more adaptable, more nimble, not kind of stuck in your ways. And I think that is difficult for people. And Talia commented that she's been having a lot of revenue management conversations in the last couple of months, that you've been validating everything. And I think that is hard when you're a revenue manager and you're trying to convince your owners or maybe the leadership in your team that like you kind of have to play a different game. And so I'm glad that you're providing the data for them to be like, nope, this is a different conversation. You have to kind of change your thought process and your attitude towards how to manage your revenue going forward.
And people have been screaming for the data, and we've been trying to provide it for them.
Any day you give it to them is the best day of the week. So
100%. Well, I was going to say, touching back on a couple weeks ago, I've learned a lot from the way operators are thinking and like the conversation behind the scenes. Brandy, Michael, and even Jamie, you probably all get this a lot when we go to conferences. Everyone's like, oh man, you guys have such a high level view, right? You get to hear all the things going on. And yes, it's true, but I think it's very much changed. And so for operators, I think the conversation of like people looking at other revenue streams and other kind of ways of turning their operations, Brandy, I know you guys have changed a lot in this last year. We're a small property management company where we only have 20 homes, but like we've changed a lot for 2024 and communicate that with our owners and like, hey, this isn't the same game that we all got into in 2019 or 2020. It's changed so much. And so kind of having to step up that level, I'm curious, from all three of you, is there any type of massive shift that you think has happened in the operation space that is really going to impact kind of the way that we move forward in 2024 and kind of beyond?
Well, it's not necessarily a hot take. We've talked about it before, but just this really dialed in focus on profitability. There's a lot of the extras or things that escaped your attention when there was really high revenue that is just gone. I think people are much more, cognizant of all the different facets of their P&L, making sure that you can really operate your business. If you have a heavily seasonal business, making sure that your operations and your costs are really following that line as well. So that's just like good business practices. But I think we had a couple years where, just kind of running a little fast and loose, and there's a real tightening, and not necessarily saying that people aren't going to spend money on things for their business. But I think as a vendor, you really have to validate why that cost is going to add value. And so that might be a little bit more of a sticky conversation. I envision a lot of trickier negotiations, and it's difficult when both sides are trying to really, the interests are not necessarily aligned there. And then also really focusing on direct bookings. One of the recurring things throughout the year is just, I think people are really starting to see how the different OTAs with the click of a mouse can really alter your business. So I think direct bookings also will be a continued focus for next year.
Yeah, I think one of the things that people need to be cognizant of is there will be a number of companies that go out of business next year. So even if you have your favorite tech vendor, like, might be good to have open conversations with their competitors just to, in case something happens. So I saw a chart that predicted basically the amount of companies that have gone out of business in the past 5 years will happen in 2024. So
wow.
Hopefully that's not true.
It's upsetting.
Yeah.
But when VC money is dry and no one can raise, you know, let's see what happens.
Yeah. Jamie, as a vendor and a tech data provider, I would love to know your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at, again, more acquisitions in 2024. I think one ways that companies can save money is when vendors do consolidate. They provide more and more options within the existing subscription that you have, or make it relatively affordable to add more functionality within one vendor space. And that's just something you see along the adoption curve. And it's funny that this and that comment on, have you heard of dynamic pricing? So we've been doing deeper dives because we're making pretty big investments into revenue management dynamic pricing tools. Is one quarter of Airbnb listings have a single price throughout the entire year. So when you think about Brandy, maybe Doug, if he was pricing a unit and he set one single price for the entire year, you'd be like, Doug, what are you doing? And then like, half of listings had less than five prices throughout the entire year. So maybe a weekday, weekend, peak season, off peak. So, and that's half of listings. That's 750,000 listings in the US that aren't even doing the basics around revenue management, which for a good operator, Romy, you guys are able to adapt and to adjust to lead times and make sure you're sort of getting occupancies and maybe can make big inroads in the market. But for others, it can make it seem like the industry is collapsing because they're not getting bookings when they're not adjusting their rates to the sort of environment that we're in.
Well, and I have to say, we do have obviously as a bigger operator, we have like a revenue management team. And so that's kind of the benefit. And so I totally understand for smaller operators where like, if you don't have a background in that, or it just seems overwhelming, you might be thinking, I have five different prices that it kind of account for everything. You don't want to have to manage them on a daily basis, but then you're right. Then you have people feeling like the sky is falling. So it's tricky. Revenue management, I think, is maybe the overlooked child sometimes. But it is the department that's making you money. So you should definitely give that team more resources.
Well, everyone thinks that revenue management is dynamic pricing. Like, oh, I put the algorithm, I set my base, I increase my max, whatever. And that's my revenue management. It's like, no, it still takes you going in there daily. If not, you have a team that goes in there daily and is adjusting to market and obviously watching the patterns and the data. So yeah, revenue management is definitely a very complex topic. It's not as simple as I have X, Y, and Z, tech plugged in, I should be fine. It's a lot more hands-on than people expect. Jamie, which I think you said a long time ago on the show, like that was one of your early things. You're like, revenue management is going to be more important, revenue management. So that was my Jamie Lane impersonation. You guys are welcome.
Yeah, data.
Yeah, I don't know, Jamie. Should you be insulted or?
Well, I was gonna say, Jamie, can we give you instead of making fun of you and doing bad impersonations, can we give you a good plug for your podcast, STR Data Lab? Because unlike GMH, we are not an interview show, but you do great interviews with operators all over the world at different scales and sizes. So, I think that's where I think a lot of our listeners can benefit from is the crossover between podcasts and information and kind of conversations happening. So let's give you a quick little plug here before, the impersonations to get too out of hand.
Thanks, Will. Yeah, we do try to sort of dig in on with the large professional operators and what they're doing, the tactics, the data, what they're looking at, and give sort of everyone a broader view of things that they could be implementing within their business and maybe new ways to look at the data and think about their business.
That's awesome. I love it. And we love working with you. You know, Hospitality FM is a big fan of the show, so you guys are great.
I'm excited to be on. Having you. Coming soon.
I know, I was going to say. Michael, yeah. when's that episode recording?
I don't know, but let's see if it's the highest ranked one ever.
Baby,
make the charts.
The bar is pretty high.
Well, before we wrap up the show, you know, we touched on evaluating your tech stack, which is something I think every operator should be doing at some point in the year, but there's no time like the end or the beginning of the year to kind of look at things with fresh eyes. So if you're looking for a new PMS or a new digital marketing agency, our wonderful sponsors over at TravelNet Solutions have a whole bunch of options from Track to Atlas in case you kind of need to give your tech stack a refresh. So you can find their link in our show notes, kind of get a demo, see what the product looks like so that you are well prepared for the coming year.
100%. And Steve Turk from our hotel crew just commented that they went through line by line with all their tech vendors. So that's a great way to look at it and yeah, give TravelNet a look and an observation. So appreciate it. And Mark Simpson from Boostly. Jamie, I guess you guys are buying Boostly, eh? It's trying to spread some rumors. All right, come on, Mark. We're not in the conference circuit anymore. Stop spreading that stuff.
That's got to be a violation of NDAs. I don't know.
You should have definitely not showed that comment then. Dang it.
Mark's a rebel, though. He goes to the beat of his own drum.
He does. He's the guy that bought a billboard in Nashville that said the guy that Airbnb should be afraid of. And that was pretty hilarious. Again, very good. Well done, guerrilla marketing there, Mark. Awesome. This has been a fun show. Happy New Year. Happy holidays to all of our listeners, to you guys as well. For all those that want to give us feedback or things that we should do in the next coming year, we're getting ready to do a GMH planning meeting. We're going to kind of try to get ahead of 2024. So we love your feedback. Subscribe to the GMC report and then email us directly there. We would love to have your input. It's not just our show, it's your show as well. We want you to tune in and have a little bit of buy-in into the content. So, ladies and gentlemen, you guys have anything else to say before we close?
No, just enjoy the end of the year with your families, relax, take a deep breath, have some wine, and get ready for next year.
I love it. Well, it's great to see you guys again, Jamie. As always, it's a pleasure to, listen to you scream the data and, all the good stuff in between. Michael, you look great in the hat. And like always, like and subscribe to the show. And we'll see you all again next week. Shit.